Welcome to Wiki Politiki, a show designed to bring right and left front and center, to turn the funk into function, and leave the junk at the junction. At a time when so much political discourse is heat without light, Wiki Politiki shines the light of love and truth on the darkened corridors of power, and then brings leading solutionaries into conversation to light the way forward together. Your host is Steve Behrman, author, comedian, and political and spiritual uncommentator. You might know Steve as his cosmic comic alter ego, Swami Beyond Ananda, or as the author of a more serious book with cellular biologist Bruce Lipton, Spontaneous Evolution. If you recognize that crisis precipitates evolution, and judging by the current crises, the chances of precipitation are 100%, this show is for you. Welcome to the Evolutionary Uprising. Now, here is your host, Steve Behrman.
Well, hi there, and welcome to Wiki Politiki, Conversations for Co-Creation, where we shed light on the darkened corridors of power, and we shine a light ahead of us to where evolution is leading. The purpose of Wiki Politiki is to bring left and right, front and center, to face the music and dance together, to address problems instead of merely defending positions. Well, the Me Too movement enabled women to acknowledge and share stories of sexual abuse. The movement has moved mountains of dismissal and mountains of denial, not to mention ending the careers of several notable serial predators. And now what? Now that the stories are revealed, how do women heal? Keeping in mind that the definition of healing means restoring wholeness, how do those who have been traumatized become whole again? And how do we heal the whole story, the thousands of years of dominate or be dominated culture? How do we acknowledge the discounting and oppression of the feminine and the price we have paid for it? Hint, our dominator species is about to weave itself outside the web of life. Our guests this week, Misa Hopkins and Stephanie James, have brought together teachers, healers, therapists, luminaries in an online summit called Women Emerging, Reclaiming Our Souls from Sexual Abuse. The intention of the weekend is, quote, to go from surviving to thriving with this unique psycho-spiritual approach to healing from sexual abuse. And one of the other goals is to permanently remove abuse patterns from your energy field. Misa Hopkins is a pioneer in the field of feminine consciousness and is a five-time best-selling author. Her life is dedicated to the personal and planetary healing that comes with balanced consciousness. She's appeared on major television networks and has spoken at events with such luminaries as Deepak Chopra, Arielle Ford, Dr. Tom O'Brien, and me, she says. Indeed, we've been together. Misa is the director of the News Dream Foundation, currently sponsoring the event Women Emerging, Reclaiming Our Souls from Sexual Abuse. Stephanie James is a psychotherapist, a dynamic public speaker, and published author with nearly 30 years' experience in the mental health field. As the host of the Spark radio and podcast, she's interviewed such luminaries as Dr. Bruce Lipton, Dr. Larry Dossey, Dr. Rick Hansen, Dr. Jacob Lieberman. My God, it's more than a paradox, it's four doctors, and myself included. She is the creative visionary and host of the Spark Summit, a gathering of today's thought leaders in the areas of psychology, spirituality, and science, designed to help people break through limiting beliefs and behaviors and live their best lives. Well, welcome, Stephanie, and welcome, Misa.
Thank you,
so good to be here, Steve.
I'm glad that you're with us here. So I know you're going to have to take turns. I know that you like to do things in unison, but I think it's best if you take turns speaking. I'm just thinking that, you know. So the first question is, what is it that sparked your collaboration and this Women Emerging Summit?
Steve, I'm going to jump in since it was a vision that I had, and Stephanie graciously and so gratefully came on board. It literally was a vision. I felt like I got bonked on the head. I consider myself to be probably more of a mystic than anything else, and I woke up one morning just on fire, Steve, for about 3 days. It was like this download was coming through, you know. And usually when I get insights, they're very esoteric. They're a little hard to get your hands on initially, but not this time. Clear, concise, precise, an event for women, particularly a summit, which I've been resisting for about 10 years now, putting on any kind of summit. But there it was, a woman summit for women healing from sexual abuse. And in that visionary time, I heard Stephanie's name very, very clearly and heard and saw a psycho-spiritual approach to healing. So I reached out to Stephanie and said, okay, I think I've got something for us if you're interested. And Stephanie, you were so gracious and jumped on board to help us frame what we are now calling a psycho-spiritual approach to healing from sexual abuse.
Stephanie, how did you come to get involved in this? Yeah.
Well, I was just going to say it was beautiful, too, because I had Misa as a guest on my show about a year ago. And right at the end of the interview, something now that I've become very familiar with when Misa's getting these downloads, at the end of the interview, she kind of looks up and she says, yep. And she kind of nods and says, hey, do you want to be a part of this? And explains it to me. And I was absolutely sold. I was like, absolutely, I'm in. This is something I definitely believe in. And being a trauma specialist, I work with so many women who have had this kind of experience, and Misa's energy is so amazing, and I was just so thrilled to be a part of this event.
Now, if you can boil down, what's the intention? What do you seek to accomplish with this summit? It's going to be this weekend, April 17th through 21st. Is that right? Something like
correct.
That. Okay, mm-hmm. And of course, it's going to be evergreen, so whenever you listen, you're listening, you'll still be able to get that, you'll still be able to hear and access the summit. What do you look to accomplish as an overall goal of this summit?
Well, our intention has been to help the women who come or the female-identified individuals who come to this summit to see themselves begin to embody, or perhaps they're in a more advanced state of healing. It's not beginning to embody, but choosing to embody more of their true self, getting beyond this kind of stigma that we have around surviving. This is the term we use, and it's appropriate that when you've been through any kind of sexual assault or sexual abuse, when you come out of it, you consider that you've survived it. We can talk more about that a little later, why it's survival. It is survival, and that's mm-hmm. appropriate. We are survivors. But in the healing journey, something that Stephanie and I have noticed is that there's a switch that occurs at some point. You have finally done enough of your inner work that you are now thriving. You feel like you are contributing to society. You are helping individuals who have been in trauma of some form or another, and you are making a difference in the world. You're enjoying your life. You've attracted the kind of partner that you want to have. You're in love with your body once again. These are big, momentous movements after trauma. And so we've coined the term going from surviving to thriving, because ultimately, not in the course of a weekend do we expect every woman's going to go from surviving to thriving. That's not realistic. But that she will encounter individuals across different kinds of approaches to healing that resonate with her heart and soul, and that she can go deeper into her work in truly reclaiming herself and calling herself back home, and no longer being a victim of abuse or a survivor of abuse, but now a surviving and thriving woman in the world. Stephanie, what would you add to that?
You know, I think that you've really covered it well. The only thing I would add is I think part of what the summit offers is a way for women to truly break through limiting beliefs and mindsets, or they may have at one point been caught in a victim stance and really felt stuck. So this is taking it beyond that, finding ways to heal truly in heart, mind, body, and soul. And as you said, you know, beautifully, it's not in one weekend this is going to happen, but it allows people to see that it is possible that we can go from a place where we are just surviving the situation to a place where we are reclaiming certain attributes in our life that ignite our life in new ways and eventually lead to a place where then we're serving and we're in a place where we're healed, where we want to give back and we want to help lift up our other sisters and help them to heal in the ways that we have.
You know, I'm reminded of something. My friend and colleague, Leonard Laskow, Dr. Leonard Laskow, who wrote Healing with Love, and his more recent book is called Forgiving Love, which is about forgiveness. And he says that something physiological happens when you make a switch, where you in this case, forgiveness, but it could really be in any other way of restoring wholeness, that the memory shifts from the amygdala to the hippocampus, part of the brain. And in the amygdala, it has all of this emotional charge. When it switches to the hippocampus, then it becomes a memory. You've perhaps forgiven it, but you haven't forgotten it. It still exists. But when you think of it, the old charge, that energy is not there. Is that something that you've experienced, particularly Stephanie, because you've worked with as a therapist? Do you find that there is actually a point where that hurt stops? You know, you can't poke it anymore. There's not a charge anymore.
Yes, absolutely, Steve. I think, you know, there's many ways to get to this healing. One of the most effective protocols that I use in my office, literally on a daily basis, is EMDR, which is eye movement desensitization and reprocessing. And there's an international website to this, which is emdria.org, if people want to find out more information about it. And what it does is exactly what you just stated. It removes, what it does is separate someone's memory of the trauma from their physiological response to it. So that's the anxiety, or that's, you know, really the PTSD symptoms, the flashbacks, so that it does recede in memory. And most often what I hear after this type of therapy is people say, I have an awareness that it happened, I'm just no longer triggered by it. So then they really can become a more open conduit to further healing and thriving to take place in their life, because they're not living in the trauma anymore. It's no longer hardwired to that memory.
Wow, very interesting. So there's actually, and I've heard of EMDR and I've heard good things about it, there's actually a physical practice that can be done that can literally reprogram your system so that you're not triggered by these emotional things that happened in the past that are not happening now. I see you have a lot of presenters on your program. So obviously there's a number of different approaches that people take towards this healing. Could you give us an idea of some of the presenters and what are the areas and topics that they're going to be focused on?
Yeah, you know, one of our commitments to this was to make sure that we covered a range of topics. So many of our speakers come from therapeutic backgrounds, some more creative backgrounds, some spiritual backgrounds, and many cross over, which fits perfectly with this whole psycho-spiritual approach to healing. What Stephanie and I kept observing is that you don't heal in any one camp. It doesn't work that way. You heal as you develop mind, body, spirit, and I missed one here. Mind, body, and spirit, and emotions. There we go. So it was important to me that our summit reflect that. And one of the lovely speakers that we have is Laura Davis. And for those who have experienced sexual trauma, that name will be familiar to you. She wrote the best-selling book about 25 years ago, The Courage to Heal. It is still considered the Bible in sexual trauma healing. She sold nearly 2 million copies, and she's there at the summit teaching us how to use writing for healing and transformation. Dr. Pedram Shojai, I just interviewed him, remarkable man, also known as the Urban Monk, New York Times bestselling author, filmmaker, also an Oriental physician, very holistic in his approach to healing and particularly honoring the journey of trauma in our conversation. He'll be there speaking as well. Stephanie, do you want to name a couple of speakers that pop into your mind?
Yeah, you know, I just also interviewed Kev Hick, who is a huge YouTube star, just an amazing man. His segment is Loving Past Your Pain. Also, Anasuya Basil, who's a nutritionist. She's going to be talking about how to ground yourself and feel calm and the role that nutrition plays with that. Psychologist Karen Gless, talking about self-hypnosis to eliminate pain. I just think we have some amazing people here. Brian Ridgway, I know you interviewed him, transmuting trauma into power and bliss.
Yeah, I want to jump in here. There are a couple of others, too. Dr. Larry Dossey is joining us. And, of course, he's been a pioneer in consciousness and healing, New York Times bestselling author, appeared on Oprah. He's there supporting us in this journey. Dr. Eva Detko talking about a specific technique, a little different from what Stephanie shared, that also is known for creating significant healing transformation. You're going to hear from people who are actors, dancers, shamans, musicians, Layla Martin, really up and coming, healing and awakening, your sexuality in a holistic way. And of course you, Steve, we're going to be talking about trauma, maybe no laughing matter, but recovery just might be, and how to use laughter to help us heal. So there is an amazing lineup of powerful individuals. I really want to emphasize that. These are individuals who have often had their own stories around sexual abuse, know someone who has been, work with individuals who have experienced sexual trauma, and they're absolutely committed to being here and introducing you some powerful, creative, spiritual way that you can shift that trauma in your life so that it is no longer running your life.
Fabulous. Well, we have a little break that we're going to take, and when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about personal stories. This is Steve Behrman. I'm talking with Misa Hopkins and
Stephanie James.
Yeah. And I'll be back, and we'll all be back after these messages.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
A social distancing tip.
While the CDC urges you to avoid close contact, like hugging or shaking hands, there are other non-physical ways to say hello. Wave, wink, use sign language, salute, smile, give the peace sign, throw up an air high five, do jazz hands. Remember, stay a minimum of 6 feet or 2 arms length away from others, and stay home if you can. For more info, visit coronavirus.gov.
Let's all do our part, because we're all hashtag alone together. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Okay, very good. We're back with Misa and Stephanie. We're talking about women emerging. Let's get a little bit more personal. Could you tell us a bit of your own personal story and how this issue has impacted each of you in your own lives? So who wants to start?
Go ahead, Stephanie.
Okay, sure. I'm happy to share that. I guess happy isn't the right word, but happy to go first. I think I had my own abuse experience as an 11-year-old child. And so I was able to see the impact that had on me personally. And then throughout, the 30 years that I've been in the mental health field, I worked 10 years for the school district and was very involved with children. Sometimes it was right after the evening of an event where they had been sexually abused. I've been on the witness stand as someone testifying to help give those children a voice. I've also, in all of the private practice work I've done and all the trauma work I've done, I've just seen the profound impact on women's lives. And so I've gone through that journey with so many women and have seen how they've lost themselves, how they lost their voice, they lost a sense of truly who they were. And I know, within my own experience, how there were times I felt like I needed to define myself larger than the trauma and didn't always have tools to do that. So there is really a personal tie to this, and the immense, I can't even begin to tell you that the deepest, most humble feeling and probably greatest joy in my work is watching a woman recover from this, and truly have so many examples in my own practice as women move from very unempowered places in a place of crisis to really, really owning their voice, their own personal power, reclaiming some beautiful pieces of who they are, and then igniting their lives and really going on to do the things that they had always wanted to do and using the difficult times as a gift that they end up sharing and helping to ignite other people's healings. And so that's my hope, that's been my journey, that the difficult times in my life have become match points then for the gifts. And I do believe it's from these difficult places that the greatest gifts lie. So this was just a really natural fit for me. And so it's just such a joy to think of the profound implication that this can have on women around the world, the healing implication that's there.
I really like the idea of using the energy of that trauma and taking that energy and transmuting it to catapult you into something, to a more powerful life, perhaps, than you would have had had this never occurred. It may even be, it may sound kind of funny, but I've talked to people who look at these traumatic events that they've been able to transmute and transform. And they go, wow, I've used that energy to catapult me into something far better.
Yeah, yeah. Not that anyone would ever want any kind of abuse or negative situation, but it oftentimes exactly is that, Steve, that those are the situations that take us beyond what our wildest dreams were of what we could do and the gifts that we could give.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. So, Misa, what was it about this issue that personally grabbed you to get you involved with it?
Well, I had an undiagnosed. It's funny, that one's having trouble coming out. I guess it's in my history now.
Yeah.
Very much there. I had an illness for 7 years. And eventually, I was able to get to a doctor who diagnosed it, and I was producing as much testosterone as a teenage boy. Mm. Fortunately, that doctor was able to help me get my hormones on track. And at the same time, I intuitively, instinctively began doing deep emotional healing work. And in about 7 years, another 7 years, so it took 14 years total, 7 years in the illness, 7 years of recovery time. At the end of that period, I had a memory of incest. And I realized that at that very, very young age, I had decided it wasn't safe to be a woman. And so at the time that my husband at that time and I were talking about having children, my body just said, nope, we aren't doing that. It's not going to happen. So that experience of incest impacted every area of my life, relationships, career, finances, purpose. Everything was affected by those events. And what I've discovered in my own life and in sitting in circles with women and working with women is that when we've been sexually abused, we often expect life to be unsafe, unfair, and even treacherous. And the journey that it requires to release that fear, right, that it's unsafe and things are going to be bad, is significant. And it was significant for me to really release the pain. And yes, that's exactly right. It eventually becomes a distant memory. It becomes something that happened, but it doesn't inform who you are anymore every day. Mm-hmm. And that journey has been so profound for me. And it's been grace that has allowed me to extend my hand to other women and say, you know, you can do this. You can heal through this. And the summit is part of the culmination of that awareness that we can, in sisterhood and brotherhood and with support of those who love us, we really can transform these experiences into vague memories from our past, and we can live the lives we really did come here to live.
You know, it occurs to me while you were talking that most of these traumas, I mean, what makes it even more intensely difficult and traumatic is that it's most often people that the child knows. Most often it's at the hands of somebody who is a familiar and trusted individual. And I think that adds to it. And you also said that that sexual abuse is a more virulent epidemic than COVID-19. So say more about that and about the impact of having these perpetrations done by people who are familiar and trusted.
Yeah, the statistics in the United States should have us on the edge of our seats. One out of every four women, and it used to be one out of every three. Now you'll see documentation that states both, but for sure one out of every four women and one out of every five men in the U.S. are assaulted in our lifetimes. And in some countries in the world, those statistics are even higher. And as you said, Steve, often it's at the hands of someone you know. In fact, about 80% of the time, you know the person who has abused you. So that can even be someone you care about, you love, you trust. It creates tremendous confusion. And because we often know our abusers, it ends up hidden in the closet. So when I look at the COVID numbers right now, which are appalling, by the way, and I look at how long we have known there has been this kind of assault going on in our country. For decades, we have known this. It makes me wonder why we aren't standing up on the political stages of our lives, in the churches, in our spiritual centers, everywhere, saying, isn't it time for us to put an end to this pandemic? And let's get busy. It's been around much longer, and it's much more pervasive. So that's part of this summit in my mind and heart is making sure that we pay attention to this pandemic as well as the COVID pandemic. They're both doing tremendous damage on the planet, and there are solutions for both of them.
Well, you know, obviously the Me Too movement broke this issue through the soundless barrier, and all of a sudden it broke through into public awareness in a big way. Now that it's out in the open, what seems to be the places where people get stuck in their healing? What are the stuck points that you found, and who wants to start?
Well,
You're the therapist.
One of the places that women can get stuck is in that place of the limiting belief where they're defining themselves by the trauma. And when they're in that victim stance, they see that it's really hard to imagine a place where you feel joy. Or, you know, as Misa and I have had so many conversations, it's hard to think that I could reclaim a sense of purity or innocence or, you know, like I was just saying, joy. It just feels like it's in, when you're in that crisis place, you are stuck or you're in quicksand. So I do think that people can get stuck feeling alone. They can get stuck feeling like, especially like we were just talking about, if it's an incest situation, oftentimes people get stuck with the secret in and of itself. So just being able to reach out, I think, becomes the very first way that we can break through this barrier. And that's why I love, I have to say, the summit as well, because it's such a safe place for people to get these kind of resources. You don't have to be sitting in a therapist's office. You don't have to be maybe saying something that you're not yet comfortable, and you can come at whatever place you're at and start getting the information and the resources. And as we begin to open up, you know, when we have this limited thinking, we're not able to even conceptualize there's a different way to live. So I think getting the information, seeing other people's examples of their healing journey starts opening us up to the possibilities that we too can heal.
You know, part of the healing process, I think, is one way of releasing the shame, which, you know, the shame is something that people tend to suffer in silence and alone. And in seeing other people, it's happened to many, many, many other people, you know, 25% of women or more. And it's a way of going, you know, I can release that. It, you know, maybe not take it personally. There's so many people it's happened to. It's not something that, it seems to be something that can help release shame. Do you think that's true?
Absolutely. And I do have to say, that was one of the powerful things, and Misa, you can speak to this as well, of moving from the Me Too movement, which was, yes, acknowledging and that importance of coming out and saying, yes, this has happened to me too, and going beyond just speaking it to a place of healing where you're moving into doing something else about it, where we're saying, we too have had this happen, and we too are here to hold each other in the space where we can create a larger community of healing and help dissolve some of that shame as we heal together.
Mm-hmm. Misa, anything to add?
Sorry about that. I was on mute. Now I'm here.
And I've always thought of you, yeah. You're immutable. You're immutable. How could you?
Well said, immutable. Stephanie, I think you're so right on with this. And thank you for bringing up the shame piece too, because I think that women do fear that they won't be heard and understood. And that also keeps us locked in. And I want to speak about this societally as well. There's a term that women who have been raped, for example, use when they report something that has happened to them. They call it the second rape. And that's when whoever is listening, whether that's a police officer or a friend or a parent, turns the problem back on them and says, well, what were you wearing that night? Were you drinking? In other words, the woman is responsible in these kinds of conversations. She's being held responsible for the attack made on her. Now, I want to put this into perspective. You wouldn't do that if you were talking to your neighbor and they said, hey, somebody just broke into our home and stole a bunch of our electronics. You wouldn't say, well, did you leave the door unlocked? Well, you know, your TV's been in front of your window for, you know, ever since we've lived here. Of course, it's an invitation. We wouldn't do that. And yet, too often societally, we do that with our women. So they have a right to be afraid and concerned that they will not be understood, that it is their fault, that somehow they brought this on, which only complicates any feelings of shame that they might already be experiencing. And the other societal piece I want to speak to is retaliation. And we're seeing that from the Me Too movement. The women some of them who stood up and said, hey, this is going on, and doggone it, I've been assaulted, I've been harassed. Then we see trolling going on the internet where primarily men are shaming them and that they basically asked for it or they didn't understand that, you know, that's how men are and they played into it or what, you know, these very bizarre responses. So the reason I'm sharing this is that societally we have created an unsafe space for our women to be able to step forward safely, to be able to say, this was a perpetration against me, and I need healing. And one of the things we're doing with this summit is exactly what Stephanie said, creating a safe place to come together where there's no shaming, there's no blaming in this environment at all. This is about you coming and listening to experts who have healed or have helped people in their healing and discovering what it is that you need to be able to heal the burdens that you've been carrying as a result of that assault.
Yeah, it's very interesting that the defensiveness that comes up, and of course, you know, as a man, you know, it's uncomfortable in a way to have to face that. That's what men have done. And looking at, you know, my being unconscious, various unconscious ways that I have treated women, have dismissed certain things, have been dominating, et cetera, et cetera. And so part of this healing really has to do with men. And when we come back from our break, we'll talk a little bit about how we bring men in. We'll be back very shortly with Stephanie and Misa, James and Misa Hopkins, talking about women emerging. This is Steve Behrman, WikiPolitiki.
Free your mind with Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
Are you done with the daily barrage of negativity? Ready for some positivity? Creations Magazine has been inspiring the soul for over 30 years, delivering thought-provoking and solution-driven articles, essays, and poetry that inspire you to enjoy a vibrant life. Holistic health, personal and spiritual growth, relationships, the environment, and so much more. Read us online or order a subscription, creationsmagazine.com.
911, what is your emergency?
My kid shot himself.
All right, where's the wounds?
911, what's your emergency?
Please help. My son shot his brother.
911, what is your emergency?
Okay. 911, please state your emergency.
Every day, 8 kids and teens are unintentionally killed or injured by loaded and unlocked guns.
It wasn't locked.
Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and End Family Fire.
Well, we're back, and we're talking about women emerging. We're talking about healing sexual trauma. And I just want to ask about men, because I noticed that there's a number of men who are presenters at this conference, at this summit. How can men help in this healing process?
That's a great question, Stephen.
Yeah.
It was really It really is. It was so important to us that our men be there as well. Most of the presenters are women, and they talk about the things women care about, like finding our soulmate with Ariel Ford and, you know, those kinds of topics, living with passion and purpose. And at the same time, our men, many of them have experienced sexual abuse themselves. So they have a touchstone into this healing process. And I think there's a tremendous power for us to be able to be held by somebody like Toby Christensen, who is a healing drummer, or to feel that power of Pedram, as I mentioned him before, Mike Rourke. I mean, for you, that compassion from a man, knowing that there are resisting listeners of a man reflecting on healing, but also to know that within this community and this environment, you're being listened to by women and men. We will have a private Facebook page available, a group available. So there is support that we can experience. We can express what we've gone through and know that we're being supported. And I would say, Steve, the biggest thing, two biggest things that men can do for your women when they've been sexually abused is, number one, to listen with your heart, and number two, not to shame them or try to make it about them, not to blame them for what has happened to them, but rather hold them in that love and concern that you would hold anyone else in who is a victim of a violent crime.
Now, you know, there's three terms that you use. I'm going to combine them all into one question. Psycho-spiritual approach, reclaiming your soul, and even the word healing. I know that healing means restore wholeness, but you said that there's a unique way that women heal. So how does that what does that have to do with reclaiming the soul and the psycho-spiritual approach that you're taking?
Well, there's so many ways to answer that, Steve, because there's several questions within your question.
I know, I put three in one.
yeah. So I'm going to just speak to, I'm going to let Misa maybe speak a little bit more to the unique ways that women heal. I do want to talk a little bit about the psycho-spiritual approach to reclaiming your soul and beginning to heal. I think that it really is coming from, at times, what has been viewed as perhaps two different modalities of healing. There's a spiritual route, and people might go on a shamanic journey or, you know, do things through their church. And then there's, you know, a psychological approach where you're going to therapy or doing the cognitive work to help yourself heal. But what we really found, and through our just hours and hours and hours of discussion and the research we've done and the people we've interviewed, the healing that is most profound is when these two modalities, if you will, are combined, and it forms this beautiful alchemy of holistic healing, so that someone is truly healing heart, mind, body, and soul. And we see that all over the place. And I know, Steve, you know that as well, as the merging of psychology, spirituality, and science blend. These two were just such a beautiful way to help someone experience that wholeness and totality of healing.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Anything to add on that?
Yeah, I would say that the unique way women heal that Stephanie and I have talked about is that when you've been sexually abused, you're not in control. Someone stronger, an authority figure, an influencer of your survival, someone who to you appears to be stronger or in control is dominant, as you talked about early on, Steve, right? That dominator energy. So in healing, for most of us, it becomes really important to be in control of our own journeys. You want the route that you take to be your decision. And we tend to not be very good with linear modalities. Here, do this step, this step, this step, and voila, you'll be well. We're more circular and organic. We draw from various sources sources, maybe brontosauruses or whatever it was I tried to say, but definitely various sources, spiritual, therapeutic, and creative. And we create a circle that becomes our circle of support, and in that, our own unique pathway. And so the program is really a reflection of that more organic and circular way of approaching healing.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, of course, that the psychology, of course, you know, starting with Freud and so on, it's been dominated by men. And, you know, it's been a men's approach, and particularly in cognitive therapy, talk therapy, intellectualization, and so on. And this is an entirely different way of thinking, seeing, and healing. And I'm really happy to hear that you have a community aspect to this, that there's a way that there can be feedback and feed forward. Say a little more about how people can participate when this summit is going on. How can people participate using these? Is it a Facebook group, a private group? What is it? How do you do that?
Yeah, Stephanie, I think I better grab this one since we're knee-deep. Mm-hmm. Jerry and I are right
now. Take it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, we're looking for, and I want to touch a little bit more question about claiming. The idea here is that, yes, there are experts to listen to who can provide some guidance. And so when you register, you're going to get information about the experts and who you might want to choose to listen to during those 5 days. You also get access to a community group, so you get a chance to talk and speak and share your memes. And one of the features of this summit that's very unusual, by the way, is that the women can choose to make what we're calling a standing with you video. And many of our experts are doing this. And this is where you're really coming together in solidarity around the healing. It's acknowledging that each of us as women or female identified individuals are making a clear and conscious decision to heal. And we are standing there in support of our sisters who are choosing to do the same thing. And it's in this kind of circular energy as we come together that we really, as women, start healing our souls. Mariska Hargitay is an actress, and she's the founder of the Joyful Heart Foundation, said it perfectly. She said, when people are abused and assaulted, it is like the doors to their souls slam shut. Mm. That's exactly what it's like. And yeah. Then we ran across the work of Reverend Dr. Julia Corbett Hemeyer in her book, and she says, the title of her book, which is perfect for us, Reclaiming Our Souls, A Woman's Guide to Healing the Spirit After Sexual Abuse. And Stephanie and I have spent months looking at different qualities that women tend to focus on, that they're really reclaiming as they go through this process of feeling whole again. We've identified 9 of them, and then we invite the women to intuitively connect with the qualities they feel called to embody and bring back into their lives again as a way of reclaiming your I am, your soul, your presence in the world.
And what are these qualities? What are some of the qualities that women can use?
You want to go first, yeah. Stephanie, and I'll
follow. Sure.
All right.
Well, you know, in some of them, I know when you first hear them, they might sound counterintuitive because one of them is purity. And I think the importance, like when we're talking about purity, is that it's never taken away from us, even if we feel that it has been. And Misa, I think that's one of the things you and I found a lot of is that, you know, these qualities that we're talking about in this psycho-spiritual approach, things that we're going to reclaim, they're parts of us that are truly our essence. And so no matter what has happened, you know, it's that essence that no wind can blow out, water can't wet it, fire can't burn it out. It's literally as if we're excavating the layers of whether it's the trauma or the abuse to get to these qualities that are truly inherent within us. So it's reclaiming things like purity and truth and innocence And we had so much fun discussing all these different things, sensuality, which, Misa, you can even talk more about that difference. We defined the difference between reclaiming sensuality and sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, that sensuality is enjoying your senses being on this earth and seeing your body as safe. And sexuality is knowing how to reclaim that joy of your body, its responses, right, that so often get diminished and damaged in sexual assault, so that you can create healthy boundaries and be present to your body and enjoy pleasure, power. And what real power is, it's not power over another, comes from another source, a sense of trust. The trust is in your own intuitive wisdom is what keeps you safe in the world. And to befriend yourself and be able to listen to that inner voice. And those are just a few of them. There are several more. So
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Okay, I was going to say, go ahead. You've got one more thing to say on this before I ask my other questions.
I do only because these are qualities that when you haven't been abused, you might take for granted. Like, well, of course. Mm. But when you've been abused, you feel like it's been stripped out of you and you don't remember how to get it again. How do I feel that if you ever felt it, depending upon how young your abuse took place? So that reclamation is like reclaiming life.
You know, something you said earlier, that the percentage of women who've been abused or reported abuse is actually now slightly lower than it was. How do you think that a summit like this, or bringing this information out and forward the way that you're doing and creating this healing, is there a way that this can actually prevent future abuse and a kind of endless pattern in this generation?
Well, I can speak to just a bit of that, Misa, and I'll let you dovetail my offering here. But I think one of the ways is, as we ourselves heal, then we oftentimes, I really liken it to like the abusive cycle of like alcohol abuse or drug abuse. And once someone heals and decides, I'm no longer going to, number one, live in this trauma or perpetuate it or perpetrate anyone else in my life, we end the cycle of abuse. And so by consciously working on our own healings, then we're no longer bringing that into our relationships. We're no longer bringing that into relationships with our children, our partners. And so we literally are operating on a very different vibration. We're coming from a very different place that we're interacting with the world. So the energy that we're putting out and the way that we're connecting is coming from this healed place. And so we're going to see it start to end. Our children aren't going to carry that pain forward. We're not going to carry that pain forward in our relationships with our partners. Misa, do you want to speak more to that?
Wow, you really said it beautifully, Stephanie. That's it. I mean, as we heal individually, then the field of consciousness is changing. So what I like to say is, when any woman makes a commitment to her healing, when she dives into that journey, she is doing something for all of us. And we all benefit, which again takes us back to the circle, right? Nothing's done in a vacuum. We are co-creating the consciousness of this planet, and a day will come when we too, as Stephanie said earlier, we too will mean we too have healed, and then the day will come where that concept will completely be in our collective history and won't be a part of our reality at all.
Yes, yes. I think that's part of the transpersonal, the psycho-spiritual transpersonal, that it's in our collective unconscious. And when it's out of that space, then there's less of a tendency to, quote-unquote, attract those kinds of circumstances and situations. And there's more there's a healthier vibration. And so those can be nipped in the bud before they become perpetrations, perhaps. In the minute or two that we have left, What was the most surprising thing that you've discovered in your journey in putting this amazing summit together? And whoever wants to jump in first, go ahead.
I'm happy to. The one thing that surprised me, Steve, because I did some research about this, even though there are many individuals beginning to work in a more psycho-spiritual context, there's no program like this out there. This is brand new. There isn't anything out there that kind of helps women pull together their healing program in a circular way. So this is very, very exciting. And I'm going to add another one. And the second is, how many people have been jumping in to participate? They've been abused. They know someone. They work with people. And they're asking me, can you get me in the summit? And they're squeezing their schedules around to make it happen. That's how much we care about this. I'm blown away and in awe of every person that has come to make this happen, including you, Steve, including you.
Well, you know, I think that this is a time when we're recognizing that healing this pattern is a key to whatever transformation we have to make as a species, that in weaving ourselves out of the web of life, it's because we've discounted the feminine, because we've abused it, because we've discounted the nonlinear ways of thinking. So thank you so much, Stephanie James and Misa Hopkins, for putting together your Women Emerging. We have it on our on the Wiki Politiki page on my website, and on the Wiki Politiki page on the OM Times website, there's a link to the summit. We recommend going to it. Thank you once again for doing the work and play that you're doing and sharing it with us today on Wiki Politiki. This is Steve Behrman, and we'll see you next week.